Hello, this is astrologer Shelley Antine, and I'm here to give you my point of view about the April 8th, 2024 Aries New Moon Total Solar Eclipse. In the Eastern Daylight Time Zone, we will be experiencing the eclipse at 2:21 p.m., so this is something that you can correct for your own time zone. And in the blog post, I do have the link to something called nationaleclipse.com. And this has a lot of information. And it also has the exact information for your state, if you are in the United States, because that's why it's called nationaleclipse.com. So I know people who are going to be under the shadow or traveling to be under the shadow to see this event. And this event begins in Mazatlan, Mexico. It comes up from the southern Pacific, goes over in a sort of a curved diagonal through the United States, up into Canada, and ends on off the island. Actually, it's going past it, of Newfoundland, if it depends. You know, one's the way it's spelled, and the other's the way we say it. So, in the United States, here are some of the major cities that this will pass through. Of course, it will pass through the Texas-Mexican border, which is already big in the news. So, we know, as astrologers and as metaphysical people and even scientists, that there is a shift that happens when you have eclipses, and particularly a solar eclipse, total solar eclipse, is going to change the electromagnetic field. And this one has about 4 minutes and 28 seconds to be full shadow, or at least quite full shadow. But the area that is under that full shadow is not the entire United States. So it's good to look at a map and get your state and see how much of this eclipse would you be able to see. So here are some of the major cities: San Antonio, Texas, Austin, Dallas and Fort Worth, Little Rock, Arkansas, Conway, which might be Arkansas too, Jonesboro, if you know, that is, again, we're moving up from, we're going towards Ohio. Conway, Jonesboro, Cape Girardeau, Carbondale, Henderson, Terre Haute, Evansville, Bloomington, Dayton, and that's definitely Ohio, Toledo, Ohio, Muncie, Ohio, Akron, actually, Cleveland, it's Erie, Pennsylvania, and Buffalo, New York State, Rochester, Syracuse, Burlington, and Montpelier. And those are the major cities that they have highlighted for us as this moves up and over. It's just below the Great Lakes. It doesn't seem to cross into, but it's very close to the Lake Champlain, I think it is, that's in New York State area. So, completely under the shadow. And what happens with the solar eclipse that is affecting this country is that those areas may have major shifts and changes, literally, because the solar eclipse is outer world focused. We had our lunar eclipse, which was starting to look at the relationships we have to people, places, and things. Our instinctive responses to things. And so now we're in the realm of what looks different in the outer world. And as I've always said, and I will say again, you probably know what it looks like because things have been pointing to it. And in the weekly astrology forecasts, which is also a link on this blog post page, you have been given a lot of information about the week before the eclipse. And so you should be able to take a look at some of those activities that are coming in, and you should be able to find, oh, I think it might have something to do with that eclipse. Also, the house in the birth chart, where 19 degrees Aries is going to be the place where you are going to experience a shift. Now, the Aries quality itself is interesting because there's a lot of energy in the Aries sign right now. And it's an interesting thing because next week, as I said, before the eclipse begins, we have another planet enter, which is Venus. Venus is the 4 degrees Aries. Then we have the Centaur. That's the child of Chiron and Carico. And this is Okiro. And she is at 8 degrees of Aries. And then we've got the North Node at 15. The eclipse taking place at the new moon at 19 Aries. Chiron at 19 Aries. Eris, who is a cage rattler, is conjunct retrograde Mercury at 24. Okay, so that's a lot of Aries energy. We call those kinds of configurations a stellium. You know, lots of stars in the same place kind of idea. But actually, the chart itself is also heavily one-sided, let's say. Pluto is out ahead of the pack at 1 degree of Aquarius, if we look at the sunrise way of looking at the chart, moving around from the bottom to the rising to the top. Pluto in Aquarius is leading the pack. And this is significant because we're in transformation in terms of our future, our group energies, and friendships, and goals, and hopes and wishes. This is what's leading this. And all of that Aries. Aries is the sign of new beginnings. And so we are really focused in that, in a way that, you know, is more so than I have seen in, you know, quite some time, and maybe never before. And while we're having this, we're getting very, very close to the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, which is kind of a reset moment, another reset moment. Jupiter is at 19 degrees of Taurus, and Uranus is at 21, so they're only 2 degrees away, and that's going to be a feature that comes up very soon in April, but not before Mars at 13 Pisces is 1 degree away from its conjunction to Saturn at 14 degrees of Pisces. So there's a lot of, and that's with its a centaur also, Nessus, who is, Okiro was the great prophetess who said too many things that were too true and gets herself turned into a horse so nobody can hear what she's saying. But Nessus is the buck stops here. This is the enormous reset. Okay, this is on the level of certain ways of looking at the myths of the solar hero and the centaurs. Solar hero could represent ego issues of power, domination, and control. And the centaurs are kind of, you know, these rowdy biker boys that come along and stir things up and maybe bring up issues that the ego needs to see but doesn't want to see. I mean, you know, that's how we are. You know, it's hard to see the self. So we are looking at this also being in this clump of planets that start with 13 Pisces all the way up to 24 Aries. They're all, you know, kind of jumping a little bit, but they're pretty close because the Neptune in Pisces is also there between Nessus and Venus in Aries. It's really concentrated. And Mars Saturn is going to be a kind of a wounding experience for people in a way. It can be bruising, but it may be something that we need in order to get over something important and start on something new. Pisces is the sign of victims and martyrs, you know, and the old age that is already gone, in my opinion, and that people are now thinking because Pluto entered Aquarius, it means that that's what we're doing now. But, you know, we all have our own opinions again, as I said, and mine is it started when Uranus was discovered, the ruler of Aquarius, and the electricity started being used and light bulbs and stuff like that. So, but again, things are usually moving slow. At the beginning, you don't see it all. We never see it complete, like Pluto in Aquarius. What will it bring? We won't really know what it brought until it's over, unfortunately. But during the time it's happening, we will see the changes that are being made. Okay, so this eclipse moment has been spoken of by the indigenous people. And the indigenous people are speaking about the fact that this eclipse, the Western Hemisphere indigenous people, has been a prophecy that goes back thousands of years. And it's appropriate that it's thousands of years because what we are being told now is that this is the moment when the shift that we started to have in 2020 when Pluto and Saturn joined in Capricorn, the shift of the hierarchical patriarchal energy that has been keeping the indigenous teachings away from our consciousness and our own empowerment is going to be opened up for more of the divine Mother Gaia energy to come in. That would be your Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in Taurus. Boom. And so it does make some sense that this is possible. And again, at the time of the eclipse, which, you know, may be 2:21 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time for some of us, different times for others, and for 4 minutes while the sun is covered to maximum extent, the electromagnetic field is going to be significantly lowered. And if you can get yourself away from your electronics, you know, turn your phone off into the airplane mode. Don't be near your computers. Try to be in a place where you can send vision. The visions are something new. This is Uranus in Taurus. This is Pluto in Aquarius. This is the need now, is our personal vision of what would we rather see in the world than what we're seeing now. you know, and your vision doesn't have to be the same as mine. But if you want a vision of something happening and transforming, that it's going to be more positive. And for the larger number of people, Pluto in Aquarius, we are this new idea also of what the power of Aries is. Because these many, many years of patriarchal focus, it has been war. That's all it's been, in a sense. It's powerful, war, aggressive energy. Dominate, control. So now we want to have this eclipse exactly conjunct Chiron. Chiron, the wounded healer, is also actually showing us a wound. He is a great teacher, and his wound takes a long time and doesn't heal. So he's showing us something that's taken a long time and hasn't healed, and it's in the sign of Aries. So we have that negative focus on Aries, which can also be selfishness. You know, where do we see that? I mean, you will know immediately where we have seen people who are only interested in their own interests and their own little world, and, you know, kind of the growing sociopathic society in general, or the narcissistic energies, which are more so than they were. You know, so we have this. We have the need to always be first and to be the strong and undisputed leader. And so this is how we have been, and anger is being seen as power. Anger. The more angry I get, the more powerful I appear to others. Or so it seems. Now, Chiron would like us to take a look at this again and say, well, what could we do that would be better than this? What can we do with Aries? Well, Aries, again, is the beginning. Aries is the willingness to look at new things, to invent new things, and to have adventures in new areas. It is also courage, and it is leadership, but it can be an enlightened leadership. It doesn't have to be, you know, a self-focused, aggressive leadership. You know, this is what we've been in for a long time. Now we can come out of it. This is what they're saying. So to be an enlightened leader, to have the courage to go into new areas, you know, we have never got it all. We're human mind. So there are new things that could benefit the planet as a whole. Pluto in Aquarius, Uranus in Taurus. We're related to it all. You know, we find out when we are missing something that we needed it. You know, like, oh, I'm sitting here moaning and groaning about this and that, and then, whoops, I don't have electricity. Now that becomes your major focus, and you realize how important it is. Well, the same is true for every part of life. For every part of life. We are all related to all of it. We are not superior to it. We need every part of it. So we could understand that. We could come into this in a new way. We could come into this awareness. We could have an enlightened moment as the shadow moves off the sun. The new way is revealed. The old path ends, the new path begins. So it's kind of important for you to take some time as an individual for yourself, and to think about those qualities in your life. What have you felt victimized by? What are you a victim of? What is it that you would desire? Desire is Aries also. That would be of benefit to you and to others, not just to you. How can you move through the area of your birth chart that holds this sign and this eclipse and these many lessons right now? And how could you empower that in a new way? How could you start a new path there and have it be of benefit and of positivity instead of negativity? We always have the spectrum in this dimension, this third dimension. We've got the yin and the yang. We've got the spectrum to work with. Spend some time thinking about how and where and what you would like to put this energy into for good effect. And then send also the visions of how our world could transform for the better, for all things, not just one country or one group or one anything, but for the whole of Gaia. Because, you know, it's interesting that people have, in patriarchal, looking at only the masculine creator, they also somehow picture him as having favorites. You know, I mean, if you are the creator of all things, all of those things belong to you. You would not differentiate. You know, well, I only like those trees that I created. I created every tree on the planet, and they're all unique, and they all have their own qualities, but I only like those. I really don't like those. That's kind of like a childlike way of looking at things, isn't it? And if you were going to allow the Great Mother to come back, because how can you have any of these things manifest without the Great Mother, because all is born from the female. And this is one of the things that, you know, bothered some people in Greece a long time ago. They didn't like that. We're going to change it. Well, it's time to welcome the mother home. It's time to welcome her and honor the manifestation into form. That we are a manifestation in form, but we are also the energy of life that is from the Creator. So it's not an either or. The moon and sun come together as one. The sun, active, dynamic creator, the moon, receiver and holder and nourisher. That is what we always experience, but we can now return to honoring this energy and allowing this return. That's what the indigenous are calling for, to remember how to dream, they say. Remember how to dream positively, and remember the ways of the indigenous people before. So, as I have said at other times, I think now is the time that, in my experience, I've had the wonderful job of bringing through teachings from my Celtic before time, the indigenous people of my Celtic part of my family. Something I never, ever thought about before. And yet they were delivered to me to bring to others. And so I have the great benefit now of knowing who we were during time when the mother was also honored. And a lot of people have the misconception that when the matriarchy, as they call it, sounds, it's like that's a very patriarchal term for it. But when the matriarchy was there, there were issues of equality that we haven't seen in a long, long time on this planet. It wasn't that the feminine was dominant over the masculine. That was not the way. Those people were very clear about the both, both being necessary. And so they were honoring festivals at times when we were honoring manifestation. Some of those would have been harvest festivals or the fertility festivals that we're about to enter in this time here in the Northern Hemisphere of spring. You know, some of them would have been honoring the solar dynamic creator energy, you know, as we see at summer solstice and first harvest. So it wasn't that they weren't honoring the masculine principle and that they didn't have a name for, you know, the dynamic itself. They did. And it's hard to believe, but even before, way before, way before time, in the Book of Job time, there were Jews that also had a goddess energy. But, you know, again, it's just something that has been pushed out, and that hasn't really worked out so well. And we can see that now. It's clear to many of us now that we need both. We need both masculine and feminine qualities to be in a happy, balanced state and to keep the creation in a good and healthy way. And so, this is the point. This is that eclipse that the indigenous people knew would change things. This is the big change and restart a new Aries solar eclipse. There's also a comet that's going to be in the sky. And one of my friends pointed out that, you know, they call it the devil comet because it has horns. And, you know, we were thinking about how Aries has horns when it's the ram energy, you know. And is that something also that we've been taught to fear, you know, something that's horned, that is evil? I mean, think about it. We have goats, you know, we have rams, we have some bulls and cattle that have horns. Are they evil? You know, it's a very interesting thing, but it's something that we have to ponder and allow ourselves, because this Mars-Saturn conjunction and this Neptune energy that has Nessus in it now, it's time to reclaim the more positive Piscean also, so we don't have to be victims if we know that we have the power of our vision. And we are not being victims unless we choose to be thinking that way. Right? So, yes, there's a lot of work to do still. There's a lot of cleanup. There's a lot of opening. There's a lot of allowing. There's a lot of overcoming of fear. Somebody had posted today, we were talking about Gloria Steinem because she just had a a mega birthday. She's still out there. And all that she did for women's rights. And somebody was mentioning how she was attacked by other women, that she must hate men and she must be a lesbian because she wouldn't be doing this if she wasn't. And that neither of those things were true. They might have been true, but they weren't true. And she was just stepping out of the mold. She was trying to spearhead and bring in, and she's an Aries, this new way. And she was way before her time in the 60s and 70s and 80s. And yeah, so the women who were saying this were frightened, basically, because they were dependent on the patriarchal system. And this was too radical, too scary. So it was impossible for her to be a normal woman and be doing this, you see. So we've got to have levels of fear that we have to push through. That's Nessus in Pisces, Neptune in Pisces, Saturn in Pisces, Mars in Pisces. Pisces has, and Saturn and Capricorn also, they are. And Ceres, the dwarf planet, she, goddess of grains, she is in Capricorn now and trying to nurture us, you know, probably through the institutional levels, you know, going and, you know, running for office and, you know, trying to bring her nurturing, her fierce mother, into our governments and our public arena. So, but that takes a lot of courage to do that, you know. So, that is what I want to say. I know it was a lot. It's much more than I would usually say about eclipses. but again, I will just go back to the normal thing right now and just say, if you've got planets or an ascendant, midheaven, descendant, Imam Coeli, which is the bottom of the chart, the midnight point, the cusp of the fourth house of the home, in or near 19 degrees of Aries, Cancer, Libra, or Capricorn, you may find that you are feeling the effects of this eclipse change faster than those who don't. For some of us, we'll have trines to the other two fire signs, Sagittarius, Leo. We'll have sextile to Gemini and Aquarius planets. So some will find that that's what they're feeling, and they're getting that easier. It's coming in for them with much more agreeable ways, let's say. It's not something you have to push through. It'll be something that happens that you're happy about. And maybe you'll have a mixture of both. But again, look to the house where this eclipse is taking place. What has that house meant to you, and how can that change now and benefit? And if you don't know, then, you know, here I am. I'm an astrologer. And I can read your chart for you. So you can get in touch with me on my website, or just Shelley at ShelleyAntine.com, and we can make an appointment and we can find out exactly what this looks like for you, along with your chart itself and the other aspects of progressions that are unique to you and you alone. And so I hope that you will be spending some time during the eclipse itself, maybe being really quiet and sending that positive vision out, you'll know that I will be. And you can unify with everyone who is. And whatever ceremonies you do, that's the perfect way. And I'll say, if I can get back to the screen where I can turn off this, I'll say goodbye for now.